Okay. Hey, there you go. Great job. Way to work it through. Let's give the sound guys a hand. Okay. Genesis 22, starting in verse 15. Now, you may recall Genesis 22. This is where God called Abraham to do what with his son? Sacrifice his son. Okay, this is where he called him to sacrifice his son. And so here we are in Genesis 22, starting in verse 15. It says, Abraham, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Now, as you look at that text, there's something going on here. God is testing Abraham. Abraham wants him to sacrifice his son. So Abraham goes through with it. Of course, we know the story. God does not allow Abraham to sacrifice his son. But God was telling Abraham a promise. What promises did you hear here? What did you hear? Abraham, be blessed. He'll have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sand. Abraham's descendants will occupy the enemy's gates. Every person on the planet will be blessed through Abraham. Let me ask you a question. How is it possible through a man like Abraham that every person on the planet can be blessed? How's it possible? Ha! That's exactly right. Okay, look. There's only one way that one person can bless every person on the planet. And it goes back to what we just saw in Galatians 3 when he mentioned Christ in the covenant. And the covenant specifically blessing others. There is a specific outcome for the covenant. And that outcome, in fact, is Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can bless every person on the planet. Now think about this. God's covenant with Abraham was going to affect his descendants. By faith, who is a family member of Abraham? And who else? We are. And so by faith, we are getting blessed through Jesus Christ as Jesus is a direct descendant of Abraham. And so think about this. Through God's covenant with Abraham, who is specifically blessed? Well, God, Abraham, and every person where? Last time I checked, that's where I lived. I get blessed because of the covenant that God struck with Abraham. Let me ask you a question. Does this covenant sound good to you so far? Does it? It does to me. I like blessing. Okay, we really should be asking the question then. Because covenant is a relationship. So how do I stay connected? That's the third question we're going to ask this morning. Is how do I stay in covenant? How do I stay in covenant with God to receive his promise? How do I do that? Now think about this. What is a promise with God that you want to experience? Just shout out to me. What's a promise with God you want to experience? Salvation, okay? What else? Eternal life, what else? You want a relationship, excellent, love it. What else? Peace, okay, good. We heard that eternal life. That's a promise I want from God. Resurrected body. Well, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I'm looking forward to resurrected body. Okay, all right. The forgiveness of sin. Can't you just face everyday life, know your sins are forgiven? Okay. Also, I've heard this before. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I need some help walking through life, and the Holy Spirit indwells me to do that. That's a promise of God that I want. How about a righteousness, being right with God? Those are all things that I want to experience with God. And remember, all those things started, those promises of God started with Abraham and the covenant with Abraham. Now, there's an interesting phrase in Genesis 22 that I missed. Did anybody catch it? I didn't say it. If you still got your Bibles, go to Genesis 22 with me. Genesis 22. There's an interesting phrase that I missed on purpose because I want to go back to it. Genesis 22, starting in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Say it with me. Because you have obeyed me. What's that saying? You see, friends, we got to understand something. God is blessing Abraham with all these promises. Why? Because Abraham is keeping covenant with God by obeying God. Now think about this. What would happen with Abraham's relationship with God if he disobeyed God? Would he still be walking in covenant with God? No. Because he's walking away from the covenant with God, walking away from the expectations. Listen, the relationship would have fallen apart if Abraham had not been obedient to God in the covenant of God. Now think about this. When in covenant, if we choose to disobey the requirements of the covenant, what happens to the promises? We don't get them. We don't get them. Think about this. If we disobey the requirements of the relationship, we are in effect removing ourselves from covenant and removing ourselves from receiving the promise of the covenant. Powerful language. We are walking in covenant with God. But here's the problem. And as I think so many of us do this because remember asking the question, well, how do I stay in covenant with God? The problem is we get a little bit rules focused. Next screen there, Alex. Rules focus. We get rules focus. And sometimes we get rules versus relationship, okay? Well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Some of us would say, well, it's easy then. All I have to do is lawful good deeds, and I'm okay with God. I get the promises I want, right? Is that all I have to do? Just do good things? Lawful good deeds. No, that's not true. It's wrong. All you must do is be in relationship with God. Now, let's kind of take that for a little bit and just kind of focus on it. Wait a minute. I have a hard time understanding that. And we do. Because the problem is, as people, we focus on rules, not relationship. We focus on rules, not relationship. And that's our problem. It's too easy. It's too easy for us to focus on rules, not relationship. And when we focus on rules, guess what we make it about? Ourselves. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that, I haven't done this, would never do that. And suddenly the rule following is all about who? It's all about you. But see, relationships are hard. You know why relationships are hard? You can't gauge productivity. You see, in rules, you can say, I haven't done this, I haven't done this, I should have done that, and I did do that, and I did do this, I didn't do that, I'll never do that. We can gauge that. But in relationships, it's hard to gauge productivity. And so when we develop a law mentality like the Galatian churches are, when we develop a law mentality, I must do this, I must do this, I must not do that, I must not do that. When we develop a law mentality, we miss the love mentality of our God. We miss the love mentality of our God. So if you are bent on following rules, not relationship, guess who you're focusing on? Yourself. It's exactly what you're focusing on. Abraham was not focused on the rules. Abraham was focused on a relationship with God. And so when God said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, he didn't bat an eye. What did he do? He did exactly what God told him to do because he was focused on relationship with God, not rules, not law. Okay? But not everyone's there. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone's in the same place as Abraham in their relationship with God. So how does God convey to all people how to be in good relationship with him? How does he do that? Okay, let's go back to Galatians. Galatians 3, go back there with me. Galatians 3, verse 17. All right? Galatians 3, verse 17. The Bible says this. What I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. Now, what does that mean? Okay, listen, we've got a church who's saying you got to follow the law, do lawful good deeds. We got people in the church saying, wait a minute, I'm just supposed to be a Christian. I don't have to do the lawful good deeds. I'm supposed to be a Christian, relationship with Jesus. And so Paul is reminding them, which came first, Abraham or the law? Abraham came first. Abraham had a relationship with God. That's what made him righteous, not the law. But they're trying to be convinced of something different. And so the Galatians, if you think about this, the Galatians are focusing on the law, not the relationship, okay? You get the promises of God. This is so important. Don't miss this. You get the promises of God, but focus on your relationship with God, not the rules. By the relationship with God, not the rules. We'll still continue to unpack that. Let's go to Galatians 3, verse 18. Okay, Galatians 3, verse 18. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise, but God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Think about this, folks. Think about this. If the promises of God depend on me doing lawful good deeds, then the relationship between God and I becomes all about who? Let me read this again. Let me ask the question again. If the promises of God depend on me doing lawful good deeds, then the relationship between God and I becomes all about who? Us. Well, if I do this, I can get God to do this for me. It becomes a manipulation. If I do this or don't do this, I can get God to do this for me. And we start trying to control God with our behaviors. That's not how God operates. Think about this, folks. Thanks. The promises of God depend on the grace of God. The promises of God depend on the graces of God. And anytime I think I can earn the promises of God by doing lawful good deeds, what happens to grace? It's gone. You don't work for grace. Grace is given to you. Now look in Galatians 3, 19 and 20. Galatians 3, 19 and 20. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgression until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law is put in effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Now, think about this. Who was Moses representing? Bear with me. Who was Moses representing when he received the law from God and gave it to the people in the Old Testament? He's representing the people. He's also representing God. He's representing both. He's a mediator. And God wanted the law be given to mankind. Think about this. So mankind would know the specific ways that we hurt and disobey God. How would you ever know you sinned against God unless you had a law to tell you? I didn't know I hurt God. Well, how did you know? Find out. Well, I read the Bible and it says there I shouldn't do this. Well, that hurts God. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I've been disobedient to God. How do you know you've been disobedient to God? Well, I read in the Bible this. Oh, I've been disobedient. I didn't know that until I read in the Bible that I was disobedient to God. And so God wanted the law given to mankind so we would know specifically how we hurt and disobey him. That should tell us, listen to this, that should tell us something. We should want the law. We should want a tutor in our life to help us understand. I need to know what I need to know so I don't hurt my God or disobey my God. But here's the problem, and I bet you know this. How many of us have obeyed God in such a way that we've never hurt him or disobeyed him? How many of us have done that? How many of us have never hurt God or disobeyed God? None of us. Look in Galatians verse 21 there, 3:21. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if law be given that would impart life, then righteousness would certainly have been come by the law. See, none of us have followed God's righteous rules to never have heard or disobey God. None of us have done that. None of us. We're all guilty of hurting and disobeying God. And we know we can be right with God if we never hurt or disobey God. We know that can happen. All we have to do is follow the relational rules God gives us. How many of us have followed the relational rules perfectly with God? I don't see any hands on that one. I'm with you. So what do we do? Well, look in Galatians 3, verse 22. Okay. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. That's us. We sin. We sin against God. We've broken covenant with him. We've done things wrong. We've hurt God. We've disobeyed God. We've done all that. So that what was promised being given through who? Faith in who? Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now look, what do we call it when we sin or disobey against God? What do we call it? Hurting God, disobedient, breaking covenant. We've all done those things. How many of us have hurt God or disobeyed Him? How many of us? Okay, let me ask a question. How can I stay in covenant with God to receive the promises of God, knowing that my behaviors will be hurtful and disobedient to God? How can I do that? Okay, that's good, Jim. We glossed over it. It's in verse 19. Look again in verse 19. Until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. Who's the seed? The seed is Christ. You see, there was a covenant made with Abraham, and God knew something with Abraham. God knew that Abraham and the rest of mankind following would sin against God by hurting God and disobeying God. In other words, we would get out of covenant with God. God knew that with Abraham. He knew Abraham would do it, and who else? The rest of us would. And God knew that people would mess up the covenant. And when we mess up the covenant, we miss the promises of God. But God knew something. God knew that somebody was coming down Abraham's line. What's his name? His name is Jesus. God knew that Jesus was coming out of Abraham's line. And God also knew that by you and I, by faith, are going to be descendants of Abraham. And so what that means is this. This is very important. Who was able to keep covenant with God? Jesus. Jesus never broke covenant with God. Jesus was always sinless, never hurt God, never disobeyed God, never had a harmful thought. He was impeccably perfect and kept covenant with God perfectly. And when all mankind failed to keep covenant with God, who didn't? Jesus didn't. He kept covenant with God. Jesus never hurt God. He never hurt God like you and I do. He never hurt Him. And consequently, Jesus never obeyed God. And because by faith, I'm in the family of Abraham, and Jesus is my brother, His brother Jesus, His ability to keep covenant has been given to me. His ability to keep covenant has been given to who? Us. Me. So how do I keep covenant with God? I just told you. It's by faith in who? In Jesus. It's by faith in His ability to keep covenant with God. And by faith in Jesus, I get to receive the promises of God. I'm keeping covenant with God through faith in Jesus and His ability to keep in covenant with God. Now look, this is a challenging topic for us because we don't always understand covenant. And we're going to unpack even deeper subject on this in Sunday school time. If you can stay, I would encourage you to do so. If you can't stay, I want you to do this. I want you to consider reading. Let's back up track just a little bit here. Back up track a little bit. How do I keep covenant with God? Keep your faith in Jesus and His ability to keep covenant with God. And two is, by faith in Jesus, I get to receive the promises of God. We're kind of reiterating that again. But as you go home today from this lesson, something I would desire if you do and you get home or stay for Sunday school is this. Look up Genesis 15. Camp out there for a while. Get in Genesis 15. Look in verses 1 through 18 and start asking questions of God when it comes to covenant and how there still is a covenant right now. And ask God the question, God, how did you use blood and death to keep covenant between myself and you? How'd you do that? Great question. Here it is. God, how did you use blood and death to make covenant with me to save me from my sin? Oh, it's a great question. All right. One of the things I think is powerful for us this morning is to do this. I believe we need visual illustration. A visual illustration. Phil, can you help me again? You don't mind? Okay, we're going to give Phil the nomenclature of Father. Okay? Father. All right? Father. And Derek's got a baby. Who else can I pick on? Jared, you're always in the back anymore. I can't call on you anymore. Jess, you can come help me. Yeah. Just now, help me. There's some guys that say, don't ever call me in church. I'm trying to figure out what guy told me that. Okay. Jess is going to be Jesus, okay? So Phil, being God the Father, he offers me a covenant. And under covenant, I always get what? Promises. And promises always come through covenant. Covenant gives me promises, and promises always kept under covenant. So Phil, being God, take the sign here, buddy. You got both. Can you handle that? Okay. Phil the Father, I'm the man. I want to come to Phil because he's being God, and I want the what? I want the promises of God. So I want to choose to walk in covenant with Phil, God the Father. So Phil and I start to do life with each other, okay? And guess what I do? I break covenant. How do I break covenant with God the Father? I sin. And because I sin, I now find myself distant from who? From God. And matter of fact, because I sin, we'll touch on this more in Sunday school time, someone's blood's required. But there's a wonderful person named who? Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? I love the Father. And I know the Father loves Jeff. And Jesus loves Jeff. And I know that must be true. And because Jeff cannot keep covenant with God the Father, someone has to. So that way Jeff can find themselves getting what? The promises. So what does Jesus do? Jesus chooses to make covenant with God the Father. And as Jesus makes covenant with God the Father through his death, through his blood, Jesus then extends to me what? I'm able to keep covenant, Jeff, and I know you can. And because Jesus keeps covenant with the Father, and then I in turn am one with Jesus, guess what I am now? I'm in covenant with God. Jesus can keep covenant. I can't. And as I have faith in Jesus to keep covenant, I now get to experience what? The promises of who? The Father. The Father. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you helping out. Excellent work. Appreciate your help. So as we move into our time to wrap up our time with each other, here's what I want to do with you, if you don't mind. I'd be thoughtful of that. Be thoughtful of taking that home. Go to Genesis 15, 1 through 18. Look at that. See how God continues to use blood and death today to be in covenant with me. We've been doing this for a couple weeks now, 3 weeks now. Here's what I'd desire for you to do. I'm going to change it in the bulletin probably next week. Remember the yellow square in your bulletin? Ask the question today. Ask the question as you wrap up our time with each other. How can I pray for you that Jesus may be glorified in your life? How can I pray for you that Jesus may be glorified in your life? And today, if you have a decision, you want to talk about Jesus, you want to talk about covenant, you know, I'm not sure if I'm in covenant with God or not. I'm here today, talk with me. My wife's here today. Elaine's here today. Kay's here today. The other guys are in prison. And so please talk with us. Remember, this is a question. We're going to pray, and then ask the person around you, how can I be praying that Jesus be glorified in your life? Let's stand with each other. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for covenant. And it's because of covenant, God, that you chose to send your son to earth. And in that covenant with Abraham, you were looking forward to Jesus coming to the earth. And the reason is because you knew man would get it wrong. We couldn't keep covenant with you. But Jesus never broke covenant. And because we have faith in Jesus to keep covenant with you, God, we get to experience the promises of that covenant. And so thank you so much. And so, Lord, as we break off from our time here, some of us won't see each other until next year, perhaps. And so Merry Christmas, Lord, to our friends and family here. May their holidays be blessed. May their new year be more blessed with your presence. And, Lord, help us to stand up now after this prayer time and ask the question of our brother and sister in Christ, how can I pray for you that Jesus will be glorified? We love you so much, Lord, and pray at your name. Amen. All right, ask the question. Alex, play a Christmas song. Thank you.